Well, today we're going to jump back into the series that we were in before this whole COVID-19 situation hit. You know, as we moved into the online services, there were some messages that I felt that the Lord put on my heart, and mainly because of the situations that we found ourselves in, and so we took a little break from the series we'd been in. But today I felt led to finally continue that series that we titled The Bible, A True Story. Now, if you've been a part of the church, you know that it isn't an extensive walk through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's really an overarching look at the Bible from the beginning in Genesis to creation to the end of Revelations when Jesus returns. So far, we had finished the Old Testament, and we found ourselves kind of in the middle of the Gospels, in the middle of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so today we're going to pick back up in the middle of Luke. And as I was reading through Luke, as I was praying and just asking the Lord, what do you want me to speak? What is the section here, the chapter here in Luke that you want me to speak on? The Lord led me to Luke 17. And the story of the 10 lepers. And so I invite you to follow along with me as we're going to read that story this morning, found in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. This is what it says. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And another amazing story of healing that we see from Jesus here in the Gospels. Now, I have to admit that part of the reason that this section of Scripture stood out to me was because of a message I spoke years ago, one of my first messages that I ever spoke to adults that wasn't youth, right? And so it's for that reason that I think it first stood out to me. But as I read through these verses, I realized that there was so much more to this story. And so I wanted to take some time today to just share some thoughts, some observations with you about this section of Scripture. And so the first thing that I observed, the first thing I want to share is this. Number one, we all need healing like these lepers experienced. Now, the thing is when we see the word leprosy in the Bible, it can actually refer to a many number of skin diseases. But the worst form of leprosy is what we know today as Hansen's disease. And it can take two different forms. Now, both start with kind of either a white or pink discoloration somewhere on the skin. But the less severe form, it's limited to this skin discoloration and a little bit of discomfort all over the body, wherever that discoloration takes place. And these less harmful cases can often heal up in like 1 to 3 years. But the second form is much more severe and ultimately leads to death. It's one that is very painful and very difficult. In one of his commentaries, William Barclay says this about leprosy. He says, "Leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some part of the body. The nerve trunks are then affected, the muscles waste away, the tendons contract until hands are like claws, then follows ulcerations on the hands and feet, then comes the progressive loss of fingers and toes, until in the end a whole hand or a whole foot may drop off. The duration of this kind of leprosy lasts from 20 to 30 years, usually ending in death. And it's a terrible, progressive death that literally eats at a person from the inside out. And if the physical aspects of this disease weren't bad enough, it sounds horrible, does it not? The social consequences just added to the misery. According to Mosaic law, a person with leprosy was to be cut off from society. That included their family. They couldn't be around people. They couldn't be around anybody except for other lepers. They had to wear torn clothing. They had to have their heads uncovered, but they had to have their lips covered. And they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," wherever they went to warn others and to keep others at a distance. They were completely separated from society. And if you think about it, leprosy is a lot like sin. It may start off as something small, this little irritation on your skin, but if not dealt with, it begins to affect every aspect of our life. It eats us from the inside out. It makes us unclean, and it separates us from God, bringing division between us and our Creator. And much like leprosy, sin ultimately will lead to death. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." This is why we all need healing, just like these lepers experienced. We need a healing that will help us overcome the wages of sin. Healing that will give us new life, like these lepers experienced here in Luke chapter 17. And Jesus is the only one that can bring this kind of healing to our life. As I said in Romans 6:23, it tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." But if you continue in that verse, that there's some hope. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, leprosy meant eventual death for these men if Jesus hadn't healed them. And sin means death for all of us if Jesus doesn't heal us, which is why we all need to experience this healing that the lepers experienced. And it's a matter of us realizing that we're unclean and coming to Jesus, just like these men did, and saying, "Jesus, heal us, make us whole, forgive us of our sins." Amen. Now, the second thing I saw as I read through these scriptures is this: faith and obedience precede the miracle. If you notice there in verse 14, it says, "As they went," as they were on their way, they were cleansed. Now the question we have to ask ourselves is this: would we have taken off for the priest like they did? You see, in these times, if you had been healed of leprosy, if you had felt like you had been healed of leprosy, you would have to go and show yourself to the priest. And then the priest would determine whether or not you were actually healed, whether or not you could actually return back into society. But the thing we have to understand here in this story is that when they took off, when they left, when they went running, they weren't healed yet. They hadn't experienced the healing. And I have to be honest, when I think about this story, I often wonder, would I have responded in the same way? Would I have just taken off like they did? Or would I have first looked at myself and been like, "Well, I still have the discoloration. I still have leprosy. Why would I go show myself to the priest? Aren't you going to heal me, Jesus? I'm still have the disease." These lepers here in these scriptures, they actually stepped out in faith. and obedience as they took off running to the priest. The healing happened after they left. It happened while they were on their way. And I've often wondered, what if they would have failed to go? What if they would have just stayed there, waiting, hoping that the miracle would happen before they left? Would they have experienced this miracle? I've also wondered if there have been times in my life where I've missed the miracle because I failed to go in faith and obedience. You see, when we respond to the voice of the Lord and do whatever He tells us to do, I believe it opens the door for God to do healing in and through our lives, because I believe oftentimes faith and obedience precedes the miracles, just as we see here in these scriptures. And then the third thing that stood out to me, the observation that I brought from these scriptures is this: the importance of giving God the glory, thanking Him for what He's done in our lives. In verses 15 and 16, it says this: one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. Now, it's interesting because you would think that all 10 of them would have come back to thank Jesus for this amazing miracle that had happened in their life, but only one of them returned. Only one gave glory to God here. Only one thanked Him. And I guess the question is, how often are we that one? Or maybe an even scarier question is, how often are we the nine? You see, it's so easy to take the miracles and the blessings that God pours out upon our life for granted. But you see, we can't forget that anything good, anything praiseworthy, anything miraculous, anything wonderful that we experience comes from the Lord. It comes from Him, and we have to make sure that we're giving Him the glory, that we're thanking Him for all that He's done, for His hand upon our lives. And as I was thinking and praying about this idea of giving God glory and thanking Him for what He's done in our lives, I was reminded of the story of the prodigal son. I think many of us know this story. It's a popular story, even if you didn't grow up in church. Many of you are probably familiar with it. There are these two sons. One of the sons decides that he wants his inheritance now. He goes to his dad: "Dad, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait." And so the father decides to honor his son's wishes, and he gives his son his inheritance in that moment. And that son then goes off, and in a very short time, he squanders his wealth with wild living. That's what it says in the Bible. That's what the NIV, how they state it. And so after a time of being homeless, of starving and being hungry, he finally decides he's going to go back home. He's going to go to his dad. He's going to ask for forgiveness and see if he can just be one of his servants, be one of his hired hands, and work for his father. But if you know the story, his father sees him when he's on his way back. His father sees him off in the distance, coming down the road, and his father runs to him, meets him where he's at, embraces him with a huge hug, welcomes him back with a huge feast and a giant celebration. It's an amazing story. But that's not actually the part of the story that I was reminded of. I was actually reminded of the response of the other brother, the brother that had stayed. He was angry with his dad for all these things that he was doing for and all these things that he was giving to the brother that had returned home. And he was so caught up in the other brother and how he was being treated, he failed to see all that he had been given himself. In Luke 15:31, the father says to this son, he says, "Everything I have, it's yours already. It's all yours. Everything I have is yours." And the truth is, I think all too often we take for granted the blessing that God has bestowed upon each of us, all that He has, He's given to us. We are heirs to the kingdom. And we fail to be thankful and give God the glory that He deserves. Now, I don't know why the other nine didn't return. But Jesus points it out in these scriptures. In verses 17 and 18, it says, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Weren't all of you healed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God?" And as I hear that question, all I know is I don't want Jesus asking where I am. I don't want to hear Jesus say, "Where's Darren? Did he not receive my blessings like everyone else? Where is he?" I don't want to hear God say those things. My desire is to be like the one. I want to be one who gives God the glory and who is thanking Him again and again for the miracles and blessings that He's bestowed upon my life. I want to be like David in Psalm 34, where he says these words, "I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt His name together." That's what I want to be saying. That's how I want to live my life. You see, it's important that we give God the glory, that we thank Him for all that He's done in our lives. Amen? And then the final thing I noticed in these scriptures that I want to talk about this morning, the final observation that I saw here is this. Number four, Jesus began the fight against racial injustice. Now, if you don't understand the culture in Jesus' time, you might not catch it in these scriptures. But in verse 16, Jesus points out the fact that the one that returned was a Samaritan. And in verse 18, he says again, "Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" He points him out again. You see, both of these statements pointed to the racial issues of the Jewish people in these times. Because Jews, they hated Samaritans. To them, they were the worst of the worst. They wanted nothing to do with the Samaritan race. And numerous times throughout the scriptures, we see Jesus stand up for the Samaritans. He associates with them. He hangs out with the Samaritans. He even makes the Samaritan the hero in one of His parables, which causes great frustration and animosity between Jesus and the religious leaders of His time. Jesus wasn't frustrated and He didn't have animosity. The religious leaders did. And it's much like the animosity and frustration that we see in our world today. As we're all aware, racial injustice is a hot topic right now in our world, in our nation. And I believe that if Jesus was walking on the earth today, He wouldn't shy away from this topic. The Bible tells us that we are all made in the image of God. And so when Jesus came to this earth, He didn't just come to save the Jews. He came to save the Samaritans too, to save the Gentiles, to save all people. The good news of Jesus was for the Jews and Gentiles and for people of every color and every race. And as His ambassadors, as the church, we should be preaching the same truth. Last week, I talked about the early church, and the thing that we have to realize is that the early church, they were discovering how messed up they really were. That they had been raised to believe things and live in ways that were contrary to God's will. Jesus, He brought light to this reality when He came to this earth. Now, I believe that we live in a great nation. But I also know the many failures and shortcomings of this nation. And like the early church, we have to realize that we have messed up and failed in the area of racial equality. And all of us have been raised to believe things and live in ways that are contrary to the will of God simply because of our sinful nature. But this is why Jesus came to earth. This is why Jesus calls us to love Him and to love people, all people. We don't get to be selective in who we love. We are called to love everyone. We are made in God's image and we need to treat one another as such. You see, Jesus, He set the example for us here in the Gospels. He began the fight against racial injustice. And I believe it's our job as the church to continue to carry that fight on. And I think it starts by us being willing to have good, healthy conversations. To talk with people from different races of our own. To get their view, to get their perspective. It starts by willing to see things from their point of view. There's an old saying that says, before you judge a man, walk a mile in his shoes. You see, we're real good at making judgments about people when we have no idea what they've been through or experienced in their lives. And so it starts with us taking a good, hard look at us, at ourselves, and being willing to let God show us the areas in our life that we need to change. How can we be better? How can we lead the way as the church? Jesus, He walked in grace and He showed unconditional love to all people. Even the ones that rejected Him, the ones that spit at Him, the ones that put Him up on the cross. See, it goes back to our very first point this morning. We all need healing. Our nation, our world needs healing. And the only one that can bring that healing is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And again, You know my heart and my desires that I would decrease so that You might increase. And my prayer this morning is that the words that I spoke were Your words, Lord, and that You would allow those words to meet each of us where we're at. Lord, we need Your healing. Much like these lepers who were on their way to death, Lord, we need Your healing. We are sinful in nature, and we need You to come and bring healing to our lives. We need You to heal the brokenness, to help us see the areas of our lives where we can be better, Lord, where we can be more like You. And so, Lord, we want to give You this word this morning. May You allow it to challenge us, to help us to maybe start to think differently, to take a good long look at ourselves and to see if maybe there's some things in us that need to change, Lord. Because we all fall short. We all have a sinful nature in us. And so we have to continue to seek You and seek Your will for our life, Lord. And Lord, I do pray for our nation. I pray for the struggles and challenges, and I pray for the racial injustice that we have seen over the years. And I just pray that You would bring healing, Lord. That You would bring healing to where we could truly be people who walk in love, who walk in grace, who don't see color, but see people created by You in Your image. We thank You for these things. We give them to You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.